TED Audio Collective.
I'm Elise Hu. You're listening to TED Talks Daily. The people of Belarus have been under authoritarian rule since 1994, subject to police violence and everyday assaults on their freedoms. This year, something started changing. Tens of thousands took huge risks by taking part in anti-government demonstrations, showing fearlessness against state violence. What happened and what can we learn from it? From her talk at TED Women 2020, Belarusian politician Svetlana Tsiyanouska has an inspiring lesson for the rest of us.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
that presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com, designed for work.
Support for TED Talks Daily is from Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You can say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit Progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like TED Talks? You should check out the TED Radio Hour with NPR. Stay tuned after this talk to hear a sneak peek of this week's episode.
On August 12, 2020, two groups of girls went out to protest in Minsk, the capital city of Belarus. They put on white clothes and went barefoot out into the street. In the morning, some went to Komarovsky Market in the center of town. Later that day, the other group gathered with flowers at the eternal flame under the Victory Monument. They stood together, holding hands, and they started to sing the Belarusian lullaby, waiting for the police cars to arrive. They knew the police would pick them up just like that, barefoot, with flowers in their hands, that they would take them to the police station, beat them up, and try to humiliate them. And yet, they did it anyway. This year, something changed in Belarus, a country of more than 9 million people that has been ruled by an authoritarian leader since 1994. These young women were protesting the latest rigged election result, which had taken just a few days earlier. Their small expressions of protest very quickly expanded into massive, peaceful, women-led demonstrations all across the country. Within just a few days, a few hundred thousand people took to the streets, and demonstrations have continued ever since, the likes of which Belarus has never seen before. All this despite the fact that the president proclaimed himself re-elected and that more than 10,000 people have been detained, hundreds tortured, and at least six killed. Many people wonder why the people of Belarus are speaking up now. What makes them keep taking to the streets? Despite unprecedented police violence, despite state lawlessness. The answer I hear the most is that people have become fearless. And it's something we have become together. Because fear is the province of one. It feeds on isolation. It doesn't discriminate. Men, women, children, elderly, all of us can feel fear. But only as long as we are on our own. Fearlessness takes two. It only works if and when we show up for each other. Show up so that your neighbor, your colleague, your friend has courage, and they will do the same for you. A lot has been made of my own role in the presidential election of August 2020, how I stepped in to run for my husband Sergei when he was jailed and it became clear that the authorities would deny him his chance to run himself, how I rightfully won the election and became the elected leader of a democratic Belarus but the official results only gave me 10% of the vote, and I was forced into exile with my children. How I still fight for those who voted for me and whose voice the regime wants to steal. How fearless I am. But there were many moments when I was frightened and I wanted to step down. I was threatened and forced to believe that I am alone in this fight. And yet, the more cities I visited, the more people showed up for the rallies, the less fear I had. And then, in the days before the election in Minsk, 60,000 people came to show their support for me, and I was no longer afraid. I never wanted to do any of this. I was never overly political, and I never planned to run for office. I wanted to be a mom and a wife. But by fate and the will of my people, I was elevated to this position. And I accept this with a sense of duty and pride. I will not give up. And I will show up for people because they show up for me. Our courage is born from unity. Our solidarity is our strength. I also now understand that being fearless is a commitment. It is a decision you make every single day. It is a responsibility you take. Responsibility for one another. In this regard, I am no different from my fellow Belarusians. Their support is tangible. Their solidarity grows in progression. When there are two of you, you are daring. When you are 100, you are brave. When there are thousands of you, you are fearless. And once you are tens of thousands, you become invincible. Thank you.
TED Talks Daily is hosted by me, Elise Hugh, and produced by TED. Theme music is from Allison Layton Brown, and our mixer is Christopher Fazy Bogan. We record the talks at TED events we host or from TEDx events, which are organized independently by volunteers all over the world. And we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or email us at podcasts@TED.com.
20 years ago, Jimmy Wales founded Wikipedia as a place for everyone to share information. But he wasn't exactly sure how to run the site.
How do you put together a system that will generate a reasonable degree of quality and, you know, be open?
Ideas about building communities, online and off. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Subscribe or listen to the TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
PRX.